Good evening. It's an honour and a pleasure to be back at my home church. I can't believe it's been nearly 14 years since I first stepped foot through the church, the doors of the church, and got me thinking. Some of you might know this, but I mean, how I ended up in the tab was a miracle in itself. Bless John. He received a phone call from HMS Liverpool in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And the other person on the line said, "Hi, my name's Nathan, I'm a sailor. I have a young man here who's just become a Christian. Would you take him in and disciple him?" Something along those lines, and I'm sure John was very surprised in his office that day, but he gladly said, "Yes, sure, not a problem." And what's quite interesting is my friend had 10 other churches down, and he prayed, and he felt like God chose Lansing Tab. So imagine that. Middle of the Atlantic Ocean, on a warship, you know, a lovely little seaside town church, and God brought me here. 14 years ago, it's where I got baptized, and it's just such a pleasure and honor to be back. About explaining Psalm 41, I don't know about explaining everything that it means, but in short, in essence, David is going through a very tough time in his life. He's got difficulties, going through troubles, he's got enemies after him. And he wonderfully starts off the psalm by explaining all of the blessings that are found and given towards the person who considers and upholds the poor. And he ends the psalm by saying how God protects him and upholds him, puts him in his presence forever. And I want to focus tonight on cultivating a heart for the poor. And hopefully together we can just quickly glimpse God's heart for the poor and likewise cultivate a heart for the poor ourselves. You might have to bear with me a little bit tonight. I've just moved house. All my Bibles, my computer, all in boxes, under everywhere. I couldn't find anything, so I'm using a borrowed Bible. Thank you, John. And I will be looking at my phone. Not Facebook, but I've taken some notes down on my phone for tonight. I want to read to us Psalm 41, verse 1. I want to read it from 5 different translations. I think this will really help unpack just what it means to bless the poor. So, blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. I've lost it. Sorry, I've got it wrong on that one. I did have it here somewhere. Please bear with me. Ah, here it is. Sorry about that. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. Blessed is he who cares for the poor. How blessed is he who considers the helpless. I just find it interesting that kind of, it just unpacks a little bit who the poor really are, because I think sometimes that in our Western culture, in our modern day society, we often think of the poor person as the person who's homeless and begging outside Co-op or Tesco's. But I think sometimes, perhaps maybe the poor person is the single mother who's struggling to make ends meet, whose children are running riot, who's broken and weak and downcast. I think perhaps maybe the poor or the destitute is the elderly person in a care home who doesn't have a family, doesn't have friends, who's lonely and broken and isolated, who has no visitors. And I think maybe we need to kind of try and cultivate a bigger understanding of what it truly means to be poor. Because I don't think it just means homelessness, although that is a part of it. You know, it can be the person. I'll give you a testimony, for example. When we lived, when Rachel and I, before we had children, we lived in a flat in Eastbourne. And the gentleman above us, he used to own his own business. He was wealthy. He had a marriage. He had children. He had a, you know, by all appearance, he was well-spoken. He had nice clothes. But as I got to know him, I realized that actually he wasn't, you know, just getting by and fine. He lost his business. He went bankrupt. He developed a drink problem and was a recovering alcoholic. His marriages fell through. And actually, on the inside, he was a broken, a poor, and a weak man who had nothing. And by the grace of God, we started to talk about Christianity. He was very hungry, he was very thirsty to talk about God. He'd invite me upstairs and we'd have meals together. And we'd talk about God and we'd talk about Christianity. And slowly over time, I could see him coming alive. And I'll never forget this one moment. We were both sat on the sofa talking about Jesus. And all of a sudden, it was like God's glory filled his room. And we both were speechless. We couldn't talk. And he just developed the biggest smile on his face. And I couldn't stop smiling. And to cut a long story short, he ended up giving his life to Jesus and becoming a Christian. He said, you know, I feel like a new lease of life has been given to me. He started going to church. And not long after that, actually, he died. He died of a heart attack. But I had so much comfort knowing that here was this broken, this poor, weak man who God had just radically changed his life, that in an instant had removed all the years of alcoholic abuse, all the years of brokenness and, you know, bankruptcy. The Lord had changed his life and given him a new lease of life. But at that time in my life, I wouldn't naturally have considered him poor. I would have thought it would have been the homeless person, which it was, which it is. So let's look around. Let's be aware of our neighbors. Let's be aware of the very people that we talk to. And let's just see who actually we can bless in our everyday lives. It's also interesting that we all have read the book of Acts, but in Acts chapter 6, we see a glimpse of a ministry that the apostles had started after the death and resurrection of Jesus. So if you do have your Bibles and you want to turn to Acts chapter 6 with me, we're just going to read verses 1 to 4. And I think this is so key and so important to try and glimpse what I want to share with us tonight. So we read Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables." Just before we go on, they're not saying that they're above serving and waiting on tables. They remember that the disciples, the apostles, had the commission to go into all the world and preach the good news. So what they're saying is, as much as we're serving and we're giving widows their daily portion, we also cannot neglect the Great Commission. And verse 4 goes on to say, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." Verse 5, "This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, a convert to Judaism." What I find so really interesting about this, right, is that after the death and resurrection of Jesus, after their day of Pentecost, after they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, after they've been told to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of nations, we see here that the very first ministry that the apostles had established, or that is at least revealed in the book of Acts, is a ministry of serving widows. I find that utterly remarkable, because in my mind, I would have thought that maybe the first ministry the apostles would have set up was maybe a signs and a wonders ministry, or a ministry raising up and training evangelists to go into all the world. But here we see that they're giving widows their daily food, that they're waiting on tables, that they're serving the people, that they're serving, you know, the weak, the lost, the lonely, the hurting, the broken, those who can't fend for themselves. They're dedicating themselves to serving. And what I find really interesting is that the qualification to serve a widow food was to be full of faith, full of wisdom, and full of the Holy Spirit. And if that doesn't reveal God's heart, I don't know what does. Because here we see that, you know, the requirement to serve widows was to be full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. And I think that's really what we need, that when we go out into the world, if we want to be a blessing to the lost, to the hurting, to the broken, to the poor, we need God's love. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We need to be full of faith. We need to be full of wisdom. Because I think God values the lost and the homeless so much that he wants to give them his best. And his best is his presence on our lives. And that's what we all can do with the Lord. Because Jesus is love on display. And God is love. So when the Holy Spirit is on our lives, we're filled with love. And it's quite interesting, actually, that Stephen went on to be the first person who was martyred for the faith. And I think he was so faithful in serving a widow her food. He was full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. He went on to do great signs and wonders in the kingdom to such an extent that he became such a threat that they martyred him for the faith. But where did it all start? It all started with loving the poor and giving to the poor. And the reason I've shared that in the New Testament is because in reality it mirrors what David was sharing in Psalm 41. In Psalm 41 we see these outrageous and lavish blessings that God will bestow upon the person who has regard for the poor, gives to the poor, who blesses the poor, who helps the poor. And here we see in the New Testament that the founding ministry of the apostles was in a sense a ministry to the poor. So we see that in the Old Testament, God had a heart for the poor. And in the New Testament, God has a heart for the poor. And the poor and the lost and the hurting and the broken have always been on God's heart. And we've received the good news of the gospel. We know that the Lord is good. We've received his mercy. We've received the forgiveness of sins. We have wonderful and abundant blessings in our lives. And I believe that God wants us to be good news to the world, to be good news to the poor. Because it's so easy, I'm not going to lie, it's easy for me to walk past someone who's poor and broken. I go down the town centre in Eastbourne and there are many people begging upon the street. I often see a group of alcoholics, they often hang around the post office for some reason, but they hang out there and their lives are broken, their lives are a mess, their children have been taken away by social services. I worked in a school that was located on a council estate in Eastbourne. And there are many broken lives and broken families. And maybe because I'm used to or I've hung around broken people, brokenness so much, it doesn't really hurt me and affect me as much as it used to. The very first time I encountered broken and poor people after I must have been a Christian about 2 weeks. And our ship had docked in Antigua in the Caribbean. And we went to an orphanage. And it was an orphanage for disabled children. And we went there to do charity work, to paint and to decorate and to just help and to just give this orphanage a lease of life. And as a brand new Christian, my heart was torn. It was broken, but not in a bad way. There was so much love and brokenness for these children just pouring out of my heart. I knew it was supernatural. It was not a human love. It wasn't something that I could muster on myself. It was just as the Bible says that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I could literally feel God's love being poured into my heart for this orphanage. So all the painting and all the decorating and all the serving and all the giving for this orphanage was like such a great joy to me. Like I just wanted to, I wanted to live in that place and I just wanted to give and I wanted to give and I wanted to give. And the reason being, I was feeling God's love. I was feeling the Spirit of God towards these children, towards this orphanage. And the Lord just wanted to pour out. And sometimes I have to question my heart and say, Lord, do I still have that? Because it's not God that's the problem. God is love. God will never stop loving. For God so loved the world, he gave his son to save it. I have to say, Lord, it's not you that's out of alignment. Where am I out of alignment? Where have I lost compassion for the poor? Where have I lost a love for the poor and the broken? You know, cultivating compassion for the lost is essential as a Christian. Because we see that it was the apostles' initial ministry before they established the rest of the church. It was an assignment to the widows, to those who couldn't fend for themselves, to the elderly, to the poor. Because they didn't have benefits like we do. They relied on their husbands to provide for them. When they lost their husbands, they nearly lost everything. And we see that God cared about those small things. So I want to challenge us tonight. Before we claim those wonderful blessings that David talks about, all the protection and the health and God's blessing on our lives when we give to the poor, let's cultivate a heart for the poor. One of the scriptures I read talks about considering the poor. And kind of like considering to me gives the sense of being mindful, being watchful. To consider the poor means that we don't just put money in someone's hat when we walk past them on the high street, but actually daily we're thinking, we're meditating, we're contemplating, we're considering those who are less fortunate than ourselves. Because it is, isn't it? I've just bought a house, so I'm not going to lie. God's blessed us. I'm very thankful for the blessing. But for the last month, my whole world has been consumed about myself. What I can buy, what I can do, what flooring I can put down, what light switches I can do, what carpets are we going to have. And if I'm not careful, that can be the rest of my life. I go to work for myself. It's all about us. It's all about me. Oh, I give my tithe to the church. That's fine. That's good. But actually, I want my heart to be broken when I walk past the broken. Because Jesus said that when he came to Israel, he said, Israel, don't have a shepherd. The Lord said, I long to gather them as a hen gathers her chicks. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion to minister to the poor. When they needed food, instead of sending them away, he provided them. He broke the bread and the fish and he provided for 15,000. Jesus always ate with the poor and the broken and the lonely, the sinners. He upset the religious leaders. They said, Jesus, why are you eating with them? He said, because I love them. Because they need, you don't need a doctor, but these need me. They need me to be, and people love Jesus. I believe they could see the love of God in his life. And that's that's the potential and availability. Now, I'm sure, I don't want to come across as if I'm talking to people in the room and none of you love the poor. That's not what I'm trying to say, because I don't know where you're at. I don't know where your heart is at. I just want to challenge us tonight to be mindful of those that God is radically in love with, to be mindful of those that are desperately in need of love and care and affection. And sometimes giving to the poor is not just finances, but it's also time. It's giving someone a listening ear. I've had that many times, I'm sure we all have, where that one person comes into church and that's the last person you want to talk to, because you know that talking to them is just, it's not easy. Do you know what I mean? They take up all of your time, you don't get to have a cup of tea, and you don't get to talk to your friends. But do you know what? That's a sacrifice of praise to God. Hanging out with people that are difficult to hang out with. Being with people that you don't want to be with. But actually, if we can change our hearts and the posture of our heart and say, not Lord, help me to love them, help me to see them, help me to do what you would do. I wrote this down in my notes. I said, Christian compassion and giving is not a box to be ticked, a task to be fulfilled. It is a life lived through and by the love of God that compels us to action. Because it's so easy to, and this is true in evangelism as well. I remember going through this one day. I said, right, I've read my Bible today, tick. Right, I've paid my tithe. Right, I need to witness to at least 3 people today and tell them about Jesus. Right, I've ticked that off. And my Christian life became kind of a to-do list. You know, I ticked off all the religious boxes, if you want to call it. And I thought, right, I'm good now. I've done my religious duty. I've done my Christian duty. And actually, and that can be the same towards giving or a ministry to the poor, you know. And I want to again challenge us to say, let's pray. Because the Bible says we have not because we ask not. So I'm going to make myself a challenge for 2019. I'm going to say, Lord, give me a heart after your own heart for the poor. You know, you might be saying, do you know what? I don't really actually have much of a passion or a love or a desire towards the poor or the lost or the broken. But yet the good news is we can pray. We have not because we ask not. But if we ask the Lord, he is faithful to give us the very things that we ask for. So we can pray, we can say, Lord, give me a passionate heart, Give me a hungry heart, give me a thirsty heart to help the poor, to help the lost, and to help the broken. And to end this message tonight, I just want to say that if we turn to Psalm 41 quickly, because this can be challenging. I think sometimes being a Christian, one of the most difficult things is receiving from God. We're happy to give. We're happy to give to other people. But sometimes we might struggle to receive from God ourselves. But let's just quickly look at some of the blessings that the Lord promises for those. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness. So those first three verses there, we see the wonderful blessings from God. You can believe God for those blessings. If God has promised it in His Word, then it's true for us. It's true for His people. I'm not one to argue with the Lord. I'm not one to say, Lord, why would you give such radical blessings to someone who regards the poor? But the Lord has chosen to do so. So in your giving, in your looking after the poor, in being considerate of the less fortunate, you can expect wonderful blessings from the Lord because He's promised it in His Word. And sometimes it's okay to remind the Lord, saying, Lord, you promised in your Word that this sickness would leave me. You promised in your Word that you'd protect me. You promised in your Word that you'd deliver me from my foes. Lord, look upon my giving and my blessing of the weak and the lost, the hurting, the broken, the poor. And Lord, I take you for your Word. And that's not arrogance, that's just faith. It's trusting and believing what God has said in His own Word towards and for His people. God bless you.